hello, my friends and dear listeners. Welcome back. This is Henrik, and this is Red Ice Radio. Thank you for being here. RedIceCreations.com is the website. Ken Rola is with us today. He's a natural health educator and inventor specializing in rejuvenation and cellular regeneration using raw and sprouted vegetarian foods, herbs, food-based natural supplements, detoxification, emotional healing, reprogramming of limited unconscious beliefs, ancient esoteric techniques, and cutting-edge science. Formerly educated in electrical engineering and computer science, Ken worked for 23 years in the medical industry. A tenacious researcher and experimenter, Ken uses and tests everything he recommends to find the most effective solutions for the least amount of money. Stay with us today as we talk about Ormus, Ormusite, monatomic elements, and scalar waves, both for healing and for free energy. We'll also get into water and vortexes expressing magical physics. And welcome, Ken. Thanks for coming on Red Ice Radio today. You did a fascinating program with Lana a few months ago now on Radio 314. So it's good to have you with us on this end of the network, if you will. Welcome.
Thank you. I always enjoy speaking with you guys, and it's a great opportunity for me.
Very good. Now, we have a lot of things we want to discuss today. Of course, you have a lot of a line of really interesting products and your work as well in terms of your knowledge on how to combat certain problems that arise from things like the Fukushima accident or event, neutralizing radiations. There's a lot of solutions to these kinds of problems that we're going to kind of cover today. But I wanted to begin to ask you a little bit about Ormus and what's known as Ormusite, because a lot of your work is kind of hinging on this, and we'll tie in, you know, scalar technologies later after that. But just give our audience a little bit of an overview of what Ormus and Ormusite is first, Ken.
Okay. Well, first of all, my job is to come up with solutions, natural health solutions for these various threats to our health. And so in the process of doing that, I'm always looking for solutions for things like, of course, you know, good old-fashioned pesticides and herbicides in our food and GMOs and that kind of stuff. And now we've got the threat of nuclear fallout from Fukushima and Chernobyl and other, you know, 2,044 atomic bomb blasts, etc. And so when the Fukushima accident happened, the first thing I did, I figured it was probably a engineered event. And so I Googled Fukushima scalar weapon, and sure enough, pulled up a video of the Minister of Finance of Japan being interviewed by Benjamin Fulford, who was the former editor-in-chief of Forbes China. And in that video, the minister said that the United States had used scalar energy weapons to create an earthquake off the coast of Japan to create the tsunami, and that it wasn't the first time. They had done it two times previously to blackmail Japan into some economic policies against China that Japan didn't want to do. And, you know, here, this is not the National Enquirer. This is the Minister of Finance of Japan saying this on video. And so I immediately started looking for solutions to the fallout that I knew was going to be coming. I was already familiar with the high levels of fallout that came and the effects that it had in the United States from Chernobyl. And looking at what was going on at Fukushima, it appeared that it was going to be worse than Chernobyl. And so having this strange background in engineering and science and medicine and natural health, I have a different perspective on things. So I started looking to see if anybody was using scalar energy to neutralize the radiation, because I had worked with people back in the 90s that had done that.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there were a lot of people around the world doing it, using this very simple homemade material called orgonite. Orgonite is basically a mixture of a resin like fiberglass with metal particles and crystal particles in it. And when you combine them, it will create scalar waves. And so you can actually build devices, if you make them properly, that will generate scalar waves that will go up into the atmosphere. If you stick these devices outside, they'll go up into the atmosphere, and they're kind of like an upside-down tornado. And they're faster than light energy, very high frequency. And they go up into the atmosphere like an upside-down tornado, and they will pull metal particulates and fallout and stuff that's in the atmosphere that's not supposed to be there, these charged particles, it'll pull it up into space and clear an area of that stuff. And so I saw all these lay people doing this, and I realized they didn't understand the physics of what was going on. And so I started studying it, and I found the man who invented organite, which is Karl Hans Wells. And I got on some webinars with him and was asking him questions about it, and I realized that he didn't really understand how it worked either. What really makes this stuff work is that the minerals that you put into this matrix, the crystals have these superconducting elements in them. They're kind of like metamatter. They're monoatomic minerals that are superconductors, and they exist partially in 3D space-time, and they exist partially in other dimensions of time and space simultaneously. And they, because they exist in these other dimensions of time and space, they can bring these scalar waves in from these other dimensions into our 3D reality. And when you squeeze them, it creates these waves. Normally, you know, conventional scientists are familiar with what's called the piezoelectric effect, where you can take, for example, a quartz crystal and hit it, and it will shoot out electricity.
Yeah,
that's how you start a gas grill. The little igniter on a gas grill is just smacking a little piece of quartz with some wires coming off of it that makes a spark.
Yeah,
but if you instead of smacking it, if you just squeeze on it, you'll create scalar waves. And nobody seems to understand this, that's making organite. And so when I looked at all that and realized what was going on, this is all based on work by a man named Wilhelm Reich, who back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s was doing all kinds of interesting things with this concept. And he called this scalar energy orgone. And so Wells came up with his name orgonite, which is actually a trademark name. And so I started playing with it, and because I understood what was going on, I got better results than other people. And I also had years before developed electronic circuitry based on Tesla's work that created scalar waves, and was using that for stress relief and deep sleep and stopping jet lag, things like that. And so I got thinking, well, I wonder if I combine these and use them outdoors, if it would clear chemtrails and this nuclear fallout. And so I did that, and it turned out it worked amazingly well. It would clear about 150-mile radius, and really surprised me. And so so then I started teaching classes and doing lectures on how to do this, teaching people how to make their own, and of course not very long into it, I got a death threat and had to stop.
From whom?
But I don't know. You know, it's not like these alphabet agencies come up to you and say, here's my business card. We're going to kill you if you don't stop this. It's usually
in some cases, that seems to have been the case. I mean, some people are very convinced that, you know, it's the FBI or the CIA, and they even presented themselves as such. But in your case, it's just you don't know.
Basically. Yeah, in my case, they just I was doing a lecture at a seminar, and I knew not to get out at, you know, big seminars and do it, but there were some scientists that were going to be there that I really wanted to meet, so I was there. Yeah, and after my talk, I was surrounded by people, and some lady came up to me, and let's see if I can remember exact words. She said, you're on somebody's radar now, and you need to stop what you're doing, or you're going to get hurt. And she walked off, and I didn't get a chance to talk to her and find out who she was or anything. And mm-hmm. then later, I was talking to a couple of scientists there, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, you better watch out." And I had already been warned several times by other people that had been attacked. One of them was attacked with scalar energy weapons, actually, and she almost died from it. And so. And I know that scalar weapon programs are, you know, the U.S. government and other governments' largest secret now. So they're very willing to kill people over it that are exposing the public to information about it. I know that, like, for example, Dr. Fred Bell got on Jesse Ventura's show Conspiracy Theory on a national program, and 12 hours later he was found dead. from a scalar weapon attack, apparently. So they're pretty serious about it. But at any rate, the cool thing is that people can use Orgonite. They can make it themselves. There are lots of videos and websites showing people how to make it, and you can stick it outdoors and you can clear this stuff out of the sky. And so I would say if you're going to do that, just that the key is to use plenty of crystals and small particle sizes in your Orgonite. And please, by the way, don't if you're interested, don't call me or email about how to make Orgonite, because I get hundreds of emails every week, and there's no way I can answer all those questions about it. But there are plenty of videos and websites online showing it. But they're using big metal shavings and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
Just load it up with a bunch of crystals, a bunch of fine metal particles, and some kind of resin. Fiberglass resin works really well, because it shrinks and it tightens up around everything, and that's what creates the scalar waves. And one particular device that I show people how to make to put outdoors, you can just get a 2-gallon bucket, like a plastic bucket, and spray it with some olive oil or something, and get some fiberglass resin. You can get it from any home center or hardware store, and put a bunch of crystals in there, various sizes, you know, small ones, large ones, and then get about 5 to 7 large crystals, about 4 inches long, about 1 inch in diameter. Quartz works well, and hang them in the bucket so their tips are pointing down into the bottom of the bucket.
Why is that important?
Well, it's just that when you're done with this, you're going to cast a cylinder with these big crystals sitting in it. And when you're done, you're going to take that, flip it upside down so the crystals are pointing up into the sky, and that will clear the skies.
Right. Yeah.
So you have 5 to 7 crystals hanging from some kind of a jig, you know, in the bucket. So they're pointing down to the bottom of the bucket. I use like dental floss to hang them down. And then just take fiberglass resin, mix in a bunch of different crystals, amethyst, quartz, selenite, kyanite. Those work well. You don't need a whole bunch of different ones. You can even powder them and grind them up some. Anywhere from 1/2 inch or so on down are good sizes to have. Mix them into the fiberglass resin. Put some metal shavings or fine metal powders or shavings into the smaller the particle size, the better, for metals. It doesn't matter what kind, really. Mix it all up, put the hardware in there, mix it all up, pour it around into the bucket around the big crystals and let it harden up. And then you've got this big cylinder with all these crystals and metals and the big crystals. And you turn it, you put it outside, and you set it so that the crystals are pointing up toward the sky. And it will clear chemtrails and junk out of the sky. It will... Huh. Pull it up into space. It won't drop it back down onto the ground.
Why is the metal shavings important in this? What does that do?
The metals just even the field out, so to speak. Wilhelm Reich discovered that he would build these devices for capturing what he called orgone energy, which is scalar energy. It's really life force energy is what it is. And He would build boxes and create layers of conductors and non-conductors. And the non-conductors were always some kind of organic material like beeswax or wool or something like that. And mm-hmm. these natural substances, they have ormus in them. All living organisms have these monoatomic minerals in them. Soil has monoatomics in it. Seawater, different things have these monoatomics, and they're superconductors. So he layered these things, and he found that it would enhance living organisms when he did that. And so Carl Hans Wells took that concept and mixed the crystals, which have the ormus in them, with metals. And so the metals just even the field out. In engineering terms, it's kind of like an inductor where it smooths out the signal.
Right.
So it's very simple, and you know, and it sounds like a bunch of New Age nonsense. you know, if I would have been exposed to this years ago, I would have poo-pooed it. But understanding now what's inside the crystals, you know, what gives crystals their special properties that physicists and engineers are very familiar with, it is these superconducting monoatomic elements that are hiding inside the crystal lattice. And they don't normally analyze under conventional analysis because the analysis itself, for example, like spectroscopy, you have to burn this stuff to analyze it. And in the burning process, you alter the monoatomics and they collapse into other forms. Hmm. And so it's only been recent, in the last 20 years or so, that a man named David Hudson rediscovered them in the United States. And since then, they have been brought back to the public attention increasingly because they have incredible healing powers and ability to create free energy and all kinds of stuff. And of course, the powers that be aren't interested in that agenda, and so they do their best to suppress the information about it.
But they know how it works, and as you said, they've been using it themselves.
Oh, they know very clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, very clearly. When I first started seeing this stuff showing up in trade journals years ago, not trade journals, scientific journals, there's this trend that you see if you're working at the cutting edge of stuff. If you watch physics and engineering journals, you'll see every now and then a really cutting edge technology will come along that could change the existing paradigms, energy paradigms and control paradigms. And so usually they won't last but a year or two in the journals before somebody in government notices their strategic importance, and then they will get the people doing the research and either have them work for the government or they will suppress the knowledge of it. That happened, for example, with Pons and Fleischmann when they announced to the world that they had come up with cold fusion. Well, they really did.
Yeah.
You know,
I believe so as well. Intentionally didn't want to be able to successfully replicate their experiment and went after them consequently.
Exactly. And, you know, and they knew it. They knew that if they went through the usual academic processes, it would be stopped. And so they went public with it. And that's, you know, why it got out. But then, of course, it was heavily attacked dispelled. But so that's the norm. That's what happens when you have a cutting edge technology that threatens the existing paradigm. It gets into the journals for a couple of years and then all of a sudden it disappears. And you don't hear much about it. But Argonne National Labs, for example, they've been working with these monoatomic elements. And according to Joseph P. Farrell, who I know you had on recently, who I absolutely love, in one of his books, he wrote about that, how Argonne had they had discovered this, and they had apparently coded, I think, a spacecraft with monoatomic gold and had dimension shifted it into other parts of the universe and maybe even other times. And that jibes with a scientist I met years ago who's now dead, who had done exactly that. He worked at Los Alamos, and he and some of his friends developed an anti-gravity flying saucer that used monoatomic gold as the coating on the hull. And these monoatomics are anti-gravitational and they're interdimensional. And he said ultimately the government took it away from him. But the powers that be are very familiar with this stuff, and they're using it. You can be assured that they're working on it and using it in their secret labs and things, and they don't want the public to know about it.
How would you, if you could even more, explain to someone how it actually works? I mean, many of these things that we, you know, are discovered maybe perhaps by accident, and we don't fully understand why they do the things they do, or even when we combine one material with another, why they react in such a way. But what is more, do you know anything more that's known scientifically, both of, the Ormus site and how it connects with the creation of scalar waves, basically?
Oh, yeah. There's a long, long history of this stuff. It was known by all the ancients, so it's not something like new that, you know, scientists have come up with. All the ancients knew about it, wrote about it. You know, the Celts, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Africans, Asians, Native Americans, they all knew about these monoatomics. They called them different things. Ancient Egyptians knew about it. They all wrote about it, and they did things with it. There are various ways you can make monoatomic elements, but the simplest ways and the natural ways that are beneficial is through fermentation or photosynthesis or vortexing water. So far, it's been discovered that the platinum group elements on the periodic chart, For example, you know, platinum, rhodium, iridium, osmium, palladium, and then gold, silver, mercury, copper. Those elements so far have been discovered that they can exist in this monoatomic form. And what's significant about that is that normally all metals, their atoms are bound to each other very strongly. They have very, very strong nuclear bonds, and they are bound to each other in some form of three-dimensional grid pattern depending on the metal. And that's what makes a metal a metal. And so it's also what makes a crystal a crystal. And so metals are crystals and vice well, not vice versa, but all metals are crystals. So these monoatomics, though, you can have, for example, gold, where the atoms can exist as individual discrete atoms rather than being connected to other gold atoms in this grid.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of looking like a gold metal, it will look like a white ceramic powder. And in fact, you know, that has been written about for thousands of years, white powder of gold, manna, all these different names that have been attributed to this. And when it's in monoatomic form, it's extremely regenerative if it's ingested or used topically on the body. It also can be used to create free energy because it's a superconductor. It has all these really weird properties because it's not only is it a superconductor, but it's interdimensional, which means that it's kind of like an iceberg where the tip of the iceberg is the physical element in our 3D reality, but the majority of it is existing simultaneously in other dimensions of time and space. And so it connects other dimensions of time and space to ours. And in our physical bodies, we have these elements, and they're concentrated in the DNA, because the DNA is actually a superconducting antenna that is where consciousness meets the physical structures of the body. So the DNA is actually not the genetic blueprint for the body. It is the carrier of the genetic blueprint. The actual blueprint is in consciousness itself, and scientists are beginning to see the proof of this because, for example, you can take these warmest elements and feed them to GMO or hybrid plants, and they will revert their DNA back to the original heirlooms.
Huh.
So, which is really cool because even if we screw up the plant genome with all these GMOs, it can
right.
still be fixed.
Well, that's interesting. Well, that's what kind of what we need, I
yeah.
guess, if this is so you know, invasive into our biosphere at this point and it's kind of taking over. But, I mean, that they've proved kind of with fruit flies. I don't know if you recall that or are familiar with that, but they were genetically modifying these small fruit flies to take their eyes out, basically, or make them disappear. But what they discovered
right.
is that they had to keep doing it for the, because otherwise the DNA eventually just reverted back to its normal shape. And in a few generations again, the fruit flies had eyes. So this is something they need to continue
exactly.
to do to modify it, you know?
Exactly. I saw that it was like seven generations and then they were back with eyes again.
Yep.
And that's exactly it, because the genetic pattern is in consciousness itself. It's not in the physical structure, which is really cool. So even if we destroy the DNA genome on this planet, we can fix it, and it can be fixed pretty quickly, particularly with these monoatomics. So you can ingest them, and it will heal radiation damage. It will heal DNA. It heals all kinds of stuff. And there are people doing that, which is very, very uplifting. And this is something that I always tell people and teach, that it doesn't matter – you know, how crazy or severe a problem we come up with on this planet, when you understand that this scalar energy is energy of consciousness. Human consciousness and all consciousness is actually scalar wave. And so when you get that, the way this energy flows through the cosmos and becomes manifest is that it's really kind of like God consciousness. It starts at the centers of universes, and it flows in spiral fractaling patterns. So it's spiraling through the universe, and it's branching out and fractaling as it goes. And it comes pouring out of the center of galaxies. And it's going way beyond the speed of what we normally call the speed of light. In fact, what it is it's superluminal light. It's going much faster than the speed of light. But the speed of light is not fixed, as it turns out.
Yep.
The speed of light vary quite a bit. And so when light is going way beyond what we have called the speed of light, it appears black to us, and so scientists call it dark energy or dark matter or whatever. But in fact, it's just superluminal energy, and it flows from the centers of galaxies outwards in these spirals, and it relays from there through the centers of suns and planets, and they relay that energy outward through the galaxy. And Nassim Harriman, the physicist, figured out that suns and planets have singularities on the inside of them, or in other words, black holes, which are really superluminal suns. And so they relay this energy from sun to sun to sun, planet to planet to planet, from the center of the galaxies outward. And when it gets to our planet, it comes up through the ground from the singularity, the center of the Earth, and it comes down from the sun, from its singularity, and it's, you know, these scalar waves. And so consciousness slows this energy down and coagulates it into matter and conventional electromagnetic energy that we're familiar with. Well, when you see these practices like Qigong, Tai Chi, Kundalini Yoga, any of these practices where you're bringing energy up through the feet from the ground and down through the crown chakra from above, what you're doing is you're using consciousness to consciously manifest these scalar waves into reality. But in fact, we're all doing this all the time. Our brains are scalar wave generators and transceivers, and our nervous system is the antenna for it. And all along the nervous system, you've got these superconducting junctures that are concentrations of these superconducting monoatomic elements. And also the brain neural pathways are concentrated areas, and of course the DNA. So you've got all this superconductivity in the body where consciousness meets physicality. And so scalar energy is zipping through the cosmos constantly, all the time. It's passing through everything, and consciousness brings it into form, and that's how we create our reality. So it's not some kind of metaphorical concept. We literally, are creating our reality moment by moment by having our consciousness slow this scalar energy down and turn it into matter and energy. So when you understand that, there's nothing that you can't manifest. And the powers that be know this. And so they very much do not want people to understand this. And therefore, all the ridiculous concepts that were taught throughout our upbringing, and then, of course, in society, and we're kept away from our true power. And it's these monatomic elements. If you ingest food and water that are high in them, then it will plug into those superconducting junctures and the DNA, heal them, and it will increase your ability to create your reality. Huh. It'll make you more empathic. It'll make you more sensitive. It'll make you more aware and more connected to yourself and to other people and every other living thing. And so that empowers people. Powers that you don't want folks to know about that.
Yeah. Well, it's just like that fruit fly again, if we make that analogy, that this have to be perpetual on the end of the elite, basically, where they have to, you know, they have to continue to quote unquote educate us in their version of reality, and they continuously have to do all these things to not enable people to by default kind of switch back to the natural mode, I think. So even with all the Wi-Fi, with all the food and everything that's going on, it's a perpetual battle for them to be able to, you know, keep us in that state, I think.
Exactly. And it's by design, you know. We're doing certain things that are fundamentally wrong that keep us suppressed in that way. For example, power generation. You know, it's well known in certain circles that if you're going to create power, you have to use implosive force technology, not explosive force.
Yeah.
And yet, of course, on this planet, everything we're doing for power generation is explosive. And explosive force always has toxic side effects, always.
Yeah.
Implosive force doesn't. And so those simple concepts have won out, not because they were the better or predominant idea. It was because when these technologies were being developed, the powers that be looked at the different options and said, well, we can control this one and sell it and keep people strung along and feed off of them, whereas these other ones, anybody can create them and we can't control it and we'll lose our power. And so this is why we've got all of our systems are toxic now. Well, I didn't say all of them, but the predominant systems on this planet, whether it's power generation or food or medicine or whatever, they're toxic because the control paradigm necessitates them to be. When you have real power, it's actually very simple. It's not. It doesn't take complicated technology to do. It's like these organite devices. You know, I mean, how simple is it to throw a bunch of crystals and metals into a bucket, and you can clear the sky for a 30-mile diameter over your house with some stuff from Home Depot and eBay? It's not complicated.
Yeah. And it's not then, just to clarify that with ormesite and scalar waves and everything, it's not that the actual crystal in that sense generates it from its center. It's more that like it actually is channeling and amplifying this natural energy that exists everywhere in the universe, correct?
Precisely. Crystals are transceivers of this energy. They're like lenses or antennas for this energy that's zipping around us all the time. Pyramids, by the way, do the same thing. Pyramids are scalar wave transceivers. And if you think about it, you've got this scalar energy emanating up through the surface of the Earth from the singularity at the center of the Earth, and it passes through crystals in the soil, and it's modulated and have frequencies come through that are beneficial to living organisms. And then you build a pyramid on the surface of the Earth, and it's capturing that energy, and it's capturing the energy coming down from the sun and bringing it in, focusing it in an area. And depending on the dimensions of the pyramid, you can tune them so that they have frequencies that are very beneficial to living organisms and can be used for all different kinds of purposes. And that's exactly what we have on this planet. These pyramids that are on the planet, the large ones that ancient cultures built, they were made out of stone that was high in these ormus materials. And they knew very well what they were doing. And the angles and dimensions of these pyramids had sacred geometric frequencies that were tuned to capture certain wavelengths of this energy that was beneficial. And I'm trying to remember who it was recently. Oh, I know. There was a Russian physicist named Alexander Golod.
I was going to ask you about that. Yep.
Yeah, he was a brilliant, brilliant guy. He was a Cold War physicist working for the Russian government, and he had a multi-million-dollar budget every year. And when the Cold War ended, he had all this money to work with, so he started studying pyramids. And he discovered that all of the pyramids on the planet, even though they've been built by different cultures at different times, they're part of one planetary scalar wave grid system. And whoever designed that system had to have had at least the ability to fly over the surface of the planet, if not the ability to travel in space. So, you know, these pyramids were not created by isolated cultures for monuments or burial tombs, that kind of nonsense. They were designed for different purposes, maybe possibly weapons, because they can be, you know, it's like anything. The frequencies can be used to heal or to harm. And yeah, so they might have had multiple purposes. But Golod started studying this stuff, and he wound up building some pyramids, and he built a large one outside of Moscow. It was like 141 feet high. You can actually see video of it on YouTube. His name is Golod, for those people looking, Alexander Golod. And his pyramid has a lot of really, really interesting capabilities. One, they put water in it. This thing is not heated, so in the wintertime there, it gets really freezing cold. But they can put water in bottles inside the pyramid, and it won't freeze. It'll get super cooled, but it won't freeze unless you shock it. And I mean, if you just bump it, then it'll instantly crystallize up into ice. And he also, because he had access to all of this heavy-duty Russian technology, he got the military to use some top-secret radar system they had to detect the scalar waves coming off of it. And he figured out that it was emanating out about 350-kilometer diameter, and it was clearing. It was neutralizing nuclear fallout in the sky and in the groundwater, and it had all kinds of beneficial properties. It would make hard water soft. It would clean up pollution in the water and in the ground and in the air. It would literally mutate matter from one form to another. And the kicker, here's the one that really gives me hope for the planet. The kicker is this pyramid is sitting out in this very large field, and somebody noticed that there were these flowers growing outside of the pyramid that no one had ever seen before. So they called in a botanist and had it investigated, and it turns out that the flowers have been extinct on Earth for 11 million years. And so Golod theorized that the pyramid was bringing in the pattern that's out in the quantum field, or what some people may call the Akashic records, bringing that pattern in and making it physical in 3D. And so what that tells me is that even if we wipe out species on this planet from our stupidity, we potentially can bring them back with scalar energy, because the pattern for everything that has ever existed or ever will is probably out there in the quantum field.
So he kind of awakened this flower from you know, death, basically, from many millions of years. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it did not exist on this planet, and there it is, physical. And those are the kinds of weird things you see when you start playing with Ormus and scalar energy. Indian gurus and shamans know about this stuff. There's one yogi in India whose name is Yogi Raj Gurunath Siddhanath, and he's a very high-level yogi. And when I was introduced to his work, I was told that he had a 5-foot-tall orb of monoatomic mercury at his ashram in India, and that people would come up to it and touch it and heal themselves. And I said, well, that's impossible, because you have a 5-foot-tall chunk of monoatomic anything. It's a superconductor. It's going to want to ground out. It creates superconducting fields that want to ground out huge amounts of electricity to anything anywhere near it. And it would just vaporize a human being. I mean, it would put out millions of volts at that size. And the person that was telling me this said, yeah, but he uses his consciousness to make it safe. And so I said, well, if that's true, I got to meet this guy. So I started investigating it, and wound up hosting some of his events. I never met him in person, but of some of his teachers. And when I was talking to them, I said, well, I know how to make this stuff, what they call the Shiva Lingam. And I said, I considered teaching people how to make it, but then I realized that that wouldn't be a good idea, because it's very powerful. And if, for example, you ingest it, it will radically shorten the time between thought and manifestation of thought. And so you don't want to be ingesting this alchemical Ormus stuff because of that. Because if you're not spiritually ready for it, you'll create a nightmare for yourself. And if you are spiritually ready for it, you don't need it.
yeah, that's right.
So it's like there's really no reason to make the alchemical stuff. But he's using it. What I gleaned from working with this guy and his teachers is that he's using it to project his consciousness around the planet to help people waken up and heal, and to keep us from destroying ourselves. And who knows what he's really doing with it. I mean, when you get into this realm of consciousness manipulating matter and energy, you know, he may very well be preventing the Hadron Collider from exploding. I don't know. I do know that there was a physicist working on the Hadron Collider that, you know, they were trying to do this particle experiment, and nothing would happen. Just absolutely nothing would happen, and something should have happened.
This
physicist, this hardcore physicist, said, well, I guess God just doesn't want us to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So
that's right.
There are ETs. There are people like this playing with Ormus. There's all kinds of powers that be on this planet that are doing benevolent things to help us along our way out of this madness that we're in, and keep us from destroying ourselves. But there are lots of different ways that these monatomics can be used, and Indian gurus have known about it for thousands of years, and they're using it. They literally will take herbs and mix them into liquid mercury and make this monatomic mercury, and that blows my mind.
Jeez.
So it doesn't take a high-tech lab with millions of dollars to do this stuff. And I teach people you can make Ormus elements very simply through fermentation. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I'm teaching a class on it here in Florida. And you can do things like put sea minerals into a blender and vortex it with magnets around it, and you can create these monoatomics. And then you can ingest it or feed it to ferments or microbes or plants, and you get crazy results with massive nutrient increases and growth increases. As a matter of fact, we're going to be coming out with a magnetic blender kit here in the next week or two to do exactly that.
Very interesting. Just tell us peripherally how you do that with magnets, or how many do you need? How big are they? You know.
Well, first of all, you can go online and Google magnetic blender, and you can find instructions on how to do it yourself. We're coming out with it for people that don't want to bother or don't know how.
Yeah.
But basically, the concept is this: vortexes are very, very interesting things because you're taking a large volume. And if you look at it mathematically, you're taking a large volume and you're bringing it down to a volume of zero. So you're going from infinity to zero, and down in the throat of that vortex, a lot of magical physics happens. And you actually get, with a large, strong vortex, you get interdimensional physics going on where you open up a portal to other dimensions of time and space. And so this is why when you see after a tornado or a hurricane things like, you know, a very small straw getting shoved through a telephone pole or something like that, what's really going on is not that the small, fragile item is getting shoved through this big, hard item. What's really going on is in the throat of that vortex at its height, you get three-dimensional reality phasing out of physicality, and these objects will become less physical or non-physical, so to speak. And if they happen to be in the same place when they rematerialize, that's how they get locked into each other. So this has been shown now. I mean, obviously you're not going to see this on the 7 o'clock news, but cutting-edge scientists know about this stuff. So in a blender or in a water vortex, Rudolf Steiner did a lot of work in this area with vortexing water. And years ago, I thought it was absolute nonsense until I started seeing the actual results from it. But if you vortex water just by itself and you've got minerals and things into it, it will take inorganic minerals and make them organic and angstrom size so that they can be metabolized by living organisms. But if you take the platinum group metals, or you take, you know, any of these metals that can be ormus elements, gold, mercury, silver, and the platinum group, and you vortex them in water, they will dissolve and turn into angstrom and monatomic size particles. And so, especially if you vortex them in magnetic fields. So with a blender, all you have to do is take, get about anywhere from 8 to 16 magnets and arrange them, let's say, in four places on the blender down at the base of the blender opposite from each other, so that you've got alternating polarities of magnets. So on one place you've got, let's say, the north pole of the magnet pointing in toward the blender, and then the next one around is the south pole, and then the next one around is north, and then the next one is south. So that as that water is vortexing in the blender, it's passing by those magnetic fields, and they liberate these ormus elements from the water. And then when you feed them to yourself or plants, you get crazy results. I feed mine, for example, whenever I make ferments like kombucha or water kefir or kraut or anything like that, I'll take this water, vortex it, and feed it to them. And, for example, the microbe growth will be five times of what it normally would be. And it'll happen much, much faster. With water kefir, the grains, instead of being the size of a pea, they'll be the size of a marble. Or you feed it to plants, for example, sprouts. We grow on sprouts. You spray it on sprouts, and you'll get astronomical growth and really high nutrient levels and really dense chlorophyll. And chlorophyll, by the way, is chlorophyll, by the way, is also very high in these monatomic elements. And chlorophyll is another interdimensional material, and photosynthesis is an interdimensional process. So when you're growing things, you've got the sunlight and all these things coming down onto the plant, but plants are energy to matter converters, and they also bring in these scalar frequencies from other dimensions of time and space because they've got the ormus in the plant and in the chlorophyll. And the plants get it from the soil. So if you've got soil that's high in certain types of minerals like basalt, any type of rock that is high in these monoatomics, the plants and the microbes in the soil and mushroom and fungus mycelium, the roots, all those roots in the soil, they secrete chemicals and enzymes and acids that will dissolve those minerals and break them down into angstrom-sized particles, and which are just a few atoms of the element bound together, and then the monoatomics. And then the plants will uptake them. So if you understand that, you can feed your soil with rock powders that are high in these monoatomics, like azomite and rhyolite and Jersey green sand, and there's a whole slew of them. There's a book called The Enlivened Rock Powders by Harvey Lisle, L-I-S-L-E. And you can learn about what rock powders to put down. Put them down, spray microbes down. You're going to jack the ormus content up in your plants. Then you eat them, you're going to jack the ormus content in you. You're going to be way healthier. You're going to be smarter. You're going to be more intelligent, probably more beautiful, you know, everything. So these are the kinds of things that I teach people how to do. And it's simple, simple stuff that anybody can do. It doesn't take rocket scientists in a laboratory. And vortexing your water, feeding your plants these foods, fermenting. You can take, for example, kraut. You can make cabbage kraut and just add some shilajit, which is an ormus resin that oozes out of rocks in the Himalayas. We sell it on our website. And it's cheap. You just throw a little bit of that in your kraut, and it will radically jack up the mineral content and the ormus content. And then you've got a fortified kraut that's much better for you that will do all these things as well. So there's these simple things that you can do to empower yourself and to be happy and healthy amidst this insanity of, you know, radiation and chemtrailing and all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, I mean, it's kind of what you know, Victor Schauberger talked about as well with fluid dynamics and hydrodynamics, that you can, with very easy methods, you know, start to spin your water. I mean, not that the water out of the tap is good in any way, but to increase it, to lessen some of the damage that's been done to it and everything, with, you know, going in these straight lines and copper wires and everything else, that, you know, you can put a spin and a vortex on it to completely change the nature of the water. And this is in the same kind of manner. And it's not only Schauberger, it's people like John Burke, who passed away a few years ago now, who wrote that book Seeds of Knowledge, Stone of Plenty, that showed that the pyramids in different areas of the world were used, or could be used as well on top of it, whatever, you know, there are many different usages. But he showed that the seeds that were laid upon the pyramids utilizing this kind of, you know, energy that coming out through it actually yielded in greater you know, abundance when they actually grew those seeds later on. So it's all
precisely
there.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. And that's exactly it. And people are figuring this stuff out and making practical products. For example, with water, there's a company out in Arizona that has a device called the Miracule Water System. And it's Miracule, M-I-R-A-C-U-L-E, water.com. And they do exactly that. They've taken Schauberger's work and a bunch of other people's work and built it into this water purification system. So not only are you getting purified water, but the vortexing and these scalar fields and magnetic fields will radically jack up the ormus content that's already actually in the water but locked up. And so you can get purified water that's high in ormus, and it has incredible healing powers. And ormus is one of the things in natural water that nobody in water purification gets except for those people. And the guy that developed that system, Ron Talmadge, he was actually assassinated apparently for developing free energy as well. He was a brilliant guy. But you know, you can go to their website and you can see videos where he's talking about it. Brilliant. I thought I was going to have to come up with that system myself before I knew about them, because I looked around at what was going on with our water and I said, somebody's got to put ormus into the water and do these things. And I thought it was going to be me, but thank goodness they've already done it. So very affordably too, you know, you can buy one of these.
What was that website again?
Stick it on your sink. It's Miracule, M-I-R-A-C-U-L-E, water.com. And great, great product. I'm probably going to sell those in the near future, because I'm testing one out right now. I've got one and I'm testing it out, but it seems to be amazingly promising. And there's probably capabilities that system has that they can't say publicly, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I do know this, vortexing water in magnetic and scalar fields can neutralize radiation as well. You know, so that may be a possibility. I don't know.
That could be radiation that you, let's say, have contained in your body, let's say. So when you drink it, you flush it out or clean it up. Is that how it works? Or
in your groundwater.
Right.
Yeah. Ormus elements, when you ingest ormus elements, they will pull radiation out of the body and neutralize it. And when I say radiation, I mean not just like electromagnetic radiation, damage from electromagnetic radiation, but also nuclear particles in the body.
Yeah.
Harmless elements will pull them out and neutralize them. And so I don't know if this water will do that, but Golod showed with his pyramids, and Schauberg and others have shown with vortexing that you can neutralize radioactive particles by vortexing them in water. So there's always a solution to this stuff, and they're pretty simple.
That's really positive.
And for people that are interested in water, Schauberg is absolutely a must to study.
Yeah,
because he did figure out a lot of stuff about this.
That's right. Yeah, good old days, a natural scientist. You know, he's really interesting work. Well, why don't we before we take a break, Ken? Let's talk about your website a little bit and some of the things that you offer on there as well. There's certain products there that are very interesting things that you've kind of worked with. And of course, one of the main tenants here is the Ormus or the Ormus site that we've been talking about. And you have these in different kind of configurations, I guess, already there for people who don't want to go through this with the resin and the crystals and the metal shavings that you talked about earlier. So let's just talk about that a little bit and some of the things that you'd recommend in terms of what they're good for, I guess. I mean, in certain cases, you talked about how do you want to kind of get the chemtrails out, if you will, but there are smaller ones for more personal use, let's say to neutralize electromagnetic radiation that's close to you if you're, you know, working around computers or what have you. So just kind of break down a little bit what you have there.
Okay, well, the Ormus site, the reason I call it Ormus site, number one is because Organite is technically a trademark name, even though Carl Hans Wells doesn't prevent people from using it. But also to differentiate that the stuff that I'm making is different from what other people are making out there, because I use, like, for example, 12 different Ormus-bearing mineral powders in it, and I use ingredients that other people aren't using. And therefore I get stronger scalar fields off this stuff. But we have like a 10-inch disc, which I came up with this stuff because I wanted to make a 10-inch disc to stick underneath my brewing bucket so that I could have a scalar field with my ferments so that I would get the increased Ormus content and nutrient content. So I just came up with this 10-inch disc on my own just to have that. And then I got to thinking about it. Some of my friends wanted them, and I gave them to them, and they started using it for all kinds of crazy stuff I never imagined. And so then I made a 6-inch disc and a little muffin-sized piece. Because, for example, I had a friend who was a massage therapist, and she wanted to use it with her massage clients because she noticed that when she would put it near them, when she was working on them, she would be doing deep tissue massage, and they wouldn't have the pain and the stiffness and things going on when they were in proximity to the field. And so she would get much better results with body work. So then other people would take them and go do yoga with them and tell me that their workouts were better and they didn't have, aches or pains or tightness and that kind of stuff as much and things. So, and then one lady put one in her refrigerator. She put, a disc in her refrigerator, and she said the food tasted better and lasted longer. And then she started putting it underneath her plates of food, and she said that her food and water tasted better. And I know that these scalar energy will structure water and make the bond angle such that the water is more hydrating. And also it will change the water molecule clustering so that homeopathically what you're ingesting is beneficial for you. Water molecules like to cluster together and form patterns. And when you ingest that water, if the patterns are not beneficial, then they will trigger a disease response in the body. If they're beneficial, they'll trigger a healing response in the body. And you can use these scalar fields to structure the water so that it's homeopathically beneficial. So you can stick them near water containers or whatever, and it will structure the water. Some people tell me that they'll put one of these discs or hand grenades next to an ache or a pain, and the ache or pain will go away. I know... on more than one occasion, I've gotten a headache, usually from working too much, getting dehydrated, and I will just lay down with one of them, either a hand grenade or a disc under my pillow, and in 5 minutes, the headache's gone. And it does also, these scalar fields, they structure electromagnetic radiation, and they make the waves, which are normally chaotic and random and bouncing around, they'll make them all become parallel, which is called coherence. And so when you get coherence in electromagnetic waves, when they pass through the body, they're much quieter, and so they don't interfere with cellular communication as much, and so therefore they also, like, for example, microwaves and cell phones won't heat tissue as badly, so they reduce the effects of EMF radiation. So they have a lot of different uses. I have a 10-inch disc that I put underneath the driver's seat of my car, because it'll reduce driver fatigue, particularly on long trips. It also, you can attach them to, we have other devices for doing this. We have these things called Amoras on our site, but you could attach, for example, a holy hand grenade, which is a little muffin-sized one, mm-hmm. to the negative battery terminal of your vehicle, and it will oftentimes improve gas mileage a little bit and make your engine run smoother sometimes. So, there's like all kinds of things. You can put them on your power panel where the main breaker is coming into your house, and it will structure the electricity coming into the house so that anything you have plugged into the circuitry of your house will put off smaller fields, so it will reduce EMF that way. So those are the static devices. And then the pyramid device that we have on our website, the Rest Shield, that is a powered scalar wave generator.
Yep.
That puts out a much stronger field, and I think you've got one, don't
well,
you?
Well, I was just going to mention that. I mean, last time you were on Radio 314, after that, program we did, you very generously gave Lon and myself a couple of these, and I got to say, I noticed a difference like right away. I definitely felt that I was sleeping better, and I don't, that's what this has been so interesting. Again, we read a little bit about it, and we talked about it, of course, but to again just get an idea of how they actually, work, or what goes kind of on under the hood, I guess, of these things, because I didn't know how they worked, but I knew that they did work, and whatever the effect was, it's like, it's really beneficial, so yeah, they're great.
Well, the human brain and nervous system and the cells in the body, they're all designed to entrain with any kind of pulsing, and reason being is that there is a pulsing in the Earth's atmosphere called the Schumann resonance that is caused by solar radiation and cosmic radiation and lightning, all those different forms of energy coming down, striking the surface of the Earth, and they bounce back up and hit the ionosphere. And they just keep bouncing back and forth between the surface of the Earth and the ionosphere. And that creates a pulse at about 7.86 cycles per second that our brain and nervous systems are designed to entrain with. And it keeps us relaxed and calm during the day, and it puts us in a deep sleep at night. It's kind of like, if you're listening to music, if you're listening to something fast with an upbeat, it's going to excite you and wake you up. If you listen to something slow and relaxing, it's going to relax you. It's the same concept. It's called entrainment. And so the brain is designed to pick up these scalar waves and relax and chill out and keep you balanced and calm. Unfortunately, because of all the man-made EMF on the planet, the electric grid, and all the electronic and electrical devices that we've developed, the Schumann resonance is accelerated to almost double of what it should be. And so rather than listening to this relaxing, slow beat, we're entraining with this fast, disco beat, basically, and it's wearing us out at a subtle level. So the Rest Shield, it puts out the old Schumann resonance pulse, but the difference between that and other devices that are out there, like some use sound waves, some use magnetics or electric fields, is that the body's designed to entrain with scalar waves. And so it's the only scalar wave device I know of that does this, and so that's why it works really well, because the brain, it won't put you to sleep, it won't make you sleepy, it will just relax you, but when you go to sleep, it will pull you into delta and theta brainwave states, the deepest brainwave states when you're sleeping, and really, when you wake up, you know that you've slept deeply. And nobody is getting into that deep sleep unless they've got something unusual going on, because the Schumann resonance and all this man-made EMF is keeping their brainwave cycles out of delta and theta. So the Rest Shield, that's how it works. It also structures EMF as well, so it's a good device for EMF protection as well.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how Is there any measurement in terms of like how far out this actually extends, or up or down, or anything? Is there like a dimensions to this?
Yeah, it extends out about a 20-foot radius, and we can make it more powerful. But and I'm working on it to make like a whole house device. But when you make it stronger, some people are more sensitive to it than others, and so you know. We'll start getting complaints that it's too strong. Some people will say it's not strong enough. Other people say it's too strong.
Right.
So we kind of have to find a midpoint with it. But you can use a pendulum or anything that can pick up subtle energy, and you can kind of see where the edge of the field hits. Skater waves, there aren't any publicly accessible devices for measuring skater waves directly. So the best thing to do is measure the effects on living organisms. So you can, you know, do, for example, live blood cell analysis or quantum biofeedback on a person before and after, you know, sitting in these fields, and see what effects occur. And ultimately, that's all that matters.
Well, exactly. And you know, my point, as soon as I, you know, notice the difference for me as well, and now I know that's not the case, but right away I was like, it doesn't really matter if it's, even if it's the placebo thing, which actually, you know, if this device is aiding my own body and ultimately my, you know, my brain or my spirit, if you will, to cancel some of these things out and make me feel better, then that's a success in my view. Do you see what I mean? You know, so it's, that's what you want.
And we know it's not the placebo, because it has the same effect on microbes and on plants and pets. Pets really, like cats especially, gravitate toward these things.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can measure the biological effects on these organisms that don't even know it's there. And we've had instances where people didn't know that they were sleeping in the field, and they woke up 12 or 14 hours later going, what the heck happened? So we know it's not just placebo.
Well, that's very good. Then we know that there's stuff going on there. And anything you can do to cancel out, you know, the many of the ailments that we have in our environment when it comes to everything from Wi-Fi. And again, even if we do everything that we can individually to try to exclude these things, there's, you know, there might be neighbors that are doing stuff. There might just be general in the area. It might be bigger than that. It might be, you know, more intense frequencies going on from various, you know, HARP facilities and et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so that those things we it's, you know, closely impossible to combat them, we think, you know, but in this case, anything we can do to help that and aid that along is going to be beneficial to us, you know.
That brings up a good point too. Dr. Bob Beck and Robert O. Becker both have said that we're living in a sea of EMF that's somewhere between 500 million and a billion times higher than normal.
Yeah.
And so there's stuff we don't even think about. There are military communication systems, radar guns from airports. They have a sweep of anywhere from 50 to 250 miles. You know, pretty much anywhere you go nowadays, if you're shopping, you're going to be immersed in multiple Wi-Fi fields from businesses that have Wi-Fi.
That's right.
You know, hotels, just everywhere you go, it's just ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, the intentional frequencies being put out to suppress consciousness, Gwen towers and HARP and things like that. Yeah, so we're just immersed in a massive amount of negative frequencies that our bodies and brains and cells are trying to entrain with.
That's right. All right, well, Kim, before we break here then, tell us about the website then, so people know where to go to check out some of these things and read about you. You had a seminar upcoming, you said, as well, and that might be before this show is up on the website, though, but you do have, you know, regular events, basically. So tell us about that.
My main website is freshandalive.com, and that's where we mainly have products. My informational website, which is my blog, is beyondrawfood.com, and that's where people are interested in getting more information type stuff. The blog is a place to go to. I do YouTube videos. Of course, we're on YouTube. And I do workshops and seminars. And I also do a lot of public speaking. So if people want me to come and speak where they're at, I don't charge speaking fees. I just you know, figure out a way to cover the expenses and come. So, and I do workshops, for example, usually once or twice a year I will do a 2-day intro workshop to maintaining health amidst all this craziness. And it's very comprehensive. that will be coming out on DVD in the next couple of months so that people around the world can have access to it. And it's stuff you've never heard before, I guarantee you. I mean, it's like when I talk about food and human anatomy, I get into quantum physics, but then I relate it to, you know, what you can do in your kitchen. So, I mean, if you, it's kind of silly, but, you know, when you think about it, it's like if you understand some of these basic concepts, who would normally think to slap some magnets on their blender and, you know, get much better results? But if you understand some of these basic principles, you can do things like that. You can, for example, spray certain Ormus concentrates on your sprouts and get massive nutrient levels in your sprouts. You know, just all these little simple things you can do that nobody really knows about. And so those are the kinds of things that I teach in my workshops, and increasingly we'll have videos on that.
Well, very good. And I want to ask you about some of the, you know, you've had some pretty successful, you know, healing of people who've been very sick as well. I want to ask you a little bit more about that in the second as we continue, of course. But we're talking with Ken Rollup. Freshandalive.com is the website. And we're going to continue with more here in the second hour. So stay with us, everyone. And we'll be back in just a few.